Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Environmentally friendly materials today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me along with my co-host for the day, Maria, in the studio. Hello, Maria.
Hello, Simon. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be back. It's been a long time since I've last been a panelist.
Now, Maria, today we are doing an environmentally oriented article, but this is not an environment article because these are new products and new ideas.
That's right. It's an innovation article for today, tomorrow, actually for the next 3 days. And we're talking about different things that were invented that are supposed to help the environment, to keep the environment safe.
That's right. Where I suppose the underlying subject here is materials science, where people create materials using their scientific skill with a particular goal in mind. Here our title tells us we're helping the planet with clothing and paint. So the two materials there are going to be some sort of chemical in paint that is environmentally friendly and some sort of fabric that is environmentally friendly, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So we're going to start by talking about different clothing and materials, how that can be designed in a way to be good for the environment. And then we'll move on to paint, which is a whole nother thing. But both of these things can help the environment in different ways.
Now, Maria, you're younger than me. I don't know if you think of this when you think of stretch fabric. You know, I don't know if you've seen this, but in the subtitle today, it reads, New Developments in Environmentally Friendly Stretch Fabric and Building Surfaces. But when I hear stretch fabric, I do not think environmentally friendly.
No, actually, I didn't either until I read this article. But I do try to recycle the fabric of the clothing that I'm not wearing any longer in hopes that it's not just being thrown away, put in landfills. So when I think of fabric, I do try to, I guess, throw it away or recycle it in a way that can be reused.
Interesting you mentioned recycling. See, I tend to be honest, I very rarely recycle clothing because I tend to wear my clothing until it's worn out.
Oh, well, you know what? That is the pro of wearing clothes from like the 30 years ago, because those those last a long time. Nowadays, clothes, the fast fashion, they just make clothes that I guess it's pretty much good to be thrown away in like 3 years.
They don't last. I just tend to be tough on clothes. But what I was going to say, you know, is I associate stretch fabrics with basically synthetic, which means like man-made materials, mm-hmm. like polyester. Mm-hmm. So nylon, things like that. So I tend to think of those sorts of fabrics as basically being not at all environmentally friendly and not very comfortable, but very durable. So, for example, I would point to on the island here, you know, I see kids going to school in these uniforms that are almost indestructible.
Interesting.
Like, because they're, you know, they're made of synthetic material, they're made to be durable. So they can be washed over and over and over again and passed down from one kid to the next kid, et cetera. You could never do that with a cotton t-shirt, right?
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of like a coin with two sides, where if you make a material that is very durable, then you can wear it for a long time, considering that you're not growing taller anymore. But then on the other side of the coin, there's also the concern that it's hard for the machines to then break it down when it's being thrown away.
Okay. And by the same token, they're talking about building surfaces here, but paint, basically, or some sort of thing you paint on, like it might be primer or some protective coat. But I tend to think of durable and protective. So in particular, like if I'm putting paint on a surface, you know, I might want it to be waterproof, but not just waterproof today, waterproof 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. So if you want to achieve that normally, you got to use some pretty wild chemicals, right?
Yeah. So yeah. I think you're thinking more in terms of using the paint to protect whatever is being painted mm-hmm. to make it last longer, rather than thinking about the paint and how the paint itself can be environmentally friendly. Is that what you mean?
Well, I think in general, we've developed a habit of looking at some of the parts of our lives and just thinking, no matter what you do, that is going to be environmentally unfriendly. So we're going to create a system where you can do this environmentally unfriendly thing, but you got to take some of the money from it and plant trees, mm-hmm. like carbon credits or something like that.
Yeah, no, that is right? a really good point.
But this is a different kind of thing here, because this is actually sort of a scientific or a material science attempt to make the environmentally unfriendly thing that we viewed as necessary more environmentally friendly. So a new front on, I don't know, the war on climate change, or a new front in the environmental situation.
Yeah, that's the innovation, trying to invent things that are actually good inherently.
Listeners, if you have your July magazine, I would encourage you to open it up and join us. We're going to do two readings today. If you don't have your July magazine, pause this program right now. We promise we'll wait. Go out and get one, because it is a great way to help you learn, and it's the easiest way to support us here at Advanced Radio. Like I said, we're going to do two readings today, and so we're going to do our first one now. Let's jump into it together.
Helping the planet with clothing and paint. New developments in environmentally friendly stretch fabric and building surfaces. Protein-inspired fabric. Stretch fabrics are notoriously hard to process. When your old leggings wear out, they will probably end up in a landfill, even if you try to drop them off for recycling. There's a reason why billions of pounds of textiles end up in landfills, says Gangadhar Jogikalmath, co-founder and chief technology officer of the startup Return to Vendor. When we dial it down to the microscopic scale, it's because everything we wear has blends of yarn put together. Nylon blended with spandex, wool with nylon, cotton, polyester. Any fabric blend is hard to disassemble, and stretch fabric is especially challenging. You can't shred it, Jogikalmath says. The spandex melts at a lower temperature, gums up the recycling machinery, and your recycling system suffers. The startup has spent the last 4 years designing fabric that uses a single material, nylon, and transforms it so that a material with fibers that normally wouldn't stretch suddenly can. Since it's a mono material, it can easily be recycled and turned into new fabric for new clothing.
All right. Thank you so much for that reading, Linda. Again, listeners, there is a difference between the way Linda has pronounced a name or a place or a company and the way Maria and I do it. If I were you, I would trust Linda, because our article readers put a fair bit of work into ensuring pronunciation is correct. So, you know, forgive us if we mess up this name that is very prominent in this reading, but that's okay. Maria, there's one thing I was going to ask you here. Mm-hmm. In the first sentence, there's a word. I'm going to read everything except the word, and then we're going to do like a little test, a little on-air test. We're going to let all of the listeners decide how they would pronounce this word. The word, I'll spell it for them when I say it in the sentence, okay? So here's the first sentence. Stretch fabrics are notoriously hard to process.
Okay, here's how I pronounce the word. I say process.
Not process?
Nope, I say process, but I'm assuming that process is what you say?
No, I say process too.
Oh, here we go.
I just wanted to talk about the difference for a minute. This is like one of those words, right? You know, read, read. You
data,
know.
Data.
Yeah,
route, route.
English words that have different pronunciations, but also have slightly different uses. So when you have a process, normally, you're talking about the way you do something.
Yes, the way you go from point A to point B to point C. But here it's talking about the breaking down of something.
Processing. So we emphasize that O heavily there. Okay, stretch fabrics are notoriously, What's notorious?
Yeah, it means they're really well known for something bad. So maybe you could use that sentence saying, oh, Bill is notorious for being late. Then it means he's known by everyone for always being late. And here it's used as an adverb with an L-Y at the end, notoriously.
There's a similar word that is related to famous that is used for things or people that are famous for bad reasons. Infamous.
Oh, yeah. That's another word.
It's kind of like notorious. So we use it specifically for fame that comes from bad things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These two are pretty similar.
So this is basically what I was saying about the synthetic fabrics, right? I don't think of them as at all environmentally friendly. They're hard to process. Now, they get into what they mean by process here, because process, I suppose, could mean form them into the clothing, but they're actually talking about more recycling here.
Yeah, or breaking it down, because if you're able to break down the material into very, very small parts, then you can kind of recycle it and use it in other fabrics in the making of other clothes.
So you know those green bins?
That's where I put my clothes.
That's where you put your clothes?
Yeah.
I have done that myself. But I have often wondered how many of my clothes are of any value to anyone else and how many of them just end up in the garbage.
I've thought that too.
That's kind of what they're saying here. Those green bins just make us feel better. We can get on Advanced Radio and be like, oh, I recycled my clothes. When really 90% of our synthetic clothing just ended up in the landfill, even though we tried to drop them off for recycling. So we get into a quote in the next sentence. This comes from, I'm going to leave it to Linda there. This is basically a co-founder and chief technology officer at a startup returned to vendor where they're basically trying to deal with this issue. So in the quote, it says, there's a reason why billions of pounds of textiles end up in landfills. And then it continues. What's the continuation of the quote?
Says, when we dial it down to the microscopic scale, it's because everything we wear has blends of yarn put together, and then it lists the bunch of different kinds of yarn that are blended together to make clothes.
Okay. So dial it down basically means, normally it means lower the intensity.
You have to reduce it, bring it down.
But here what they're saying is kind of shrink it. Or look at it more closely until you're looking at it at the microscopic scale, meaning like through a microscope. And what they're saying about the nature of the fabrics is that they are blends of yarn. Now, you'll be familiar with yarn.
Oh, yeah.
What is yarn?
Yeah. Well, yarn is it's a type of fabric, and it's more thick, harder, not as stretchable.
Here I think of it as threads or...
Or many threads put together.
But basically they're woven together to make the fabric, right? Mm-hmm. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think so. And I think once it's blended, it's kind of twisted together, so then it's harder to break apart. And I think of like braiding your hair. If your hair is braided, then it's also harder to come apart.
Okay. And you were talking about the blends. So then they list some of the different materials. Nylon blended with spandex, wool blended with nylon, cotton, polyester. So I guess the idea would be the different threads are all made of different materials.
Right.
And then they're spun together to make the yarn and then woven together to make the fabric so that you can't separate any one type of material. Like, you can't just get the cotton out easily anyway.
Right, because it's all blended together. And so in the next paragraph, it begins with, any fabric blend is hard to disassemble, which means hard to take apart, and stretch fabric is especially challenging.
Mm-hmm. They say you can't shred it. When you shred something, what are you usually doing with it?
Just break it up into very, very small parts. Think of a piece of paper, put it through a shredding machine, and it ends up being long, long pieces of white
trash. Shred is very specific, though, right? Because we have words like chop, cut.
Mm-hmm.
What are you usually doing when you shred something? Like, we use it for shredded cheese, for example. We use it for paper shredders, like all your sensitive documents. You should shred them. So what is actually happening when you shred it?
Yeah, it's like a machine with many, many teeth, and you put it through, it just like breaks it down to very, very small parts.
I like to think of it as chewing it into strips, usually.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Or chunks, kind of long chunks. Yeah. Okay, so it's hard to shred. Okay, as we continue on there, it goes on to say that there are other problems with some of those materials, specifically spandex. What's wrong with spandex?
Yeah, well, it melts at a lower temperature, and then when that happens, it gums up the recycling machinery, and your recycling system suffers. So when something, it gums up the machine, well, it prevents the machine from moving, from working, and just think of putting gum into a machine and it being all sticky and preventing something from working. That's kind of what happens here.
Okay, so when we say the spandex is melting at a lower temperature, we just mean you're maybe putting fabric through a machine and the machine is warm because it's mm-hmm. operating.
Yep.
And the spandex melts at a much lower temperature, meaning it melts before all the other things melt.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
The part of your fabric that is being processed that is spandex kind of becomes sticky, melted mess.
Yeah.
Mingled up with the other fabric.
Good luck making clothes from that.
Yeah, well, that's what they go on to say, right? They say, since it comes up the machine, this startup has spent the last 4 years designing fabrics that use a single material, nylon, and transform it so that the material with fibers that normally wouldn't stretch suddenly can. Since it's a mono material, it can be easily recycled and turned into new fabric for new clothing. So it's pre-sorted, I suppose, for recycling. So
yeah.
Really, what are they saying they've done here? I think what they're saying is they've, you know, when you think of different fabrics, you're going to think of different things. Like if I say wool, what do you think of as the character traits of wool, if you will?
Well, first I think of sheep and I think of that fluffy, soft material.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. See, I grew up having to wear wool sweaters.
And
I think of them as
itchy?
Scratchy, totally scratchy, but warm and waterproof.
Oh, yeah.
Like
those
warm,
are good descriptions.
Even when they're wet. So I think of wool as like an amazing natural material that is the most uncomfortable thing you can put on your body. But cotton, I think of something very different. What do you think of with cotton?
I think of cotton as hot, not for me to wear. Makes me a little itchy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I think of it as soft and breathable, but when it gets wet, it stays wet and doesn't keep you very warm.
Clearly, I've not worn wool clothes before, and for some reason, cotton doesn't.
All right.
Suit
I think
me.
Of things like polyester as being very hot, but very durable. Like it's never going to wear out. You can slide across the floor without putting holes in your pants, things like that. Okay. So all of these different kinds of traits are associated with materials, but what they are doing is changing the material so that it can take on different traits.
Yeah, they're removing that blending element of all these different fabrics, and they're just making it one single one, mono material, meaning just one, and
yeah.
Hopefully that helps the breaking down.
But more than that, they're kind of transforming that one material so it can take on the characteristics of other types of fabrics.
Yeah, because originally right. The blending was so that the material could be stretchable, breathable, and now they're just using that material.
You don't think of some materials as being stretchable.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You can maybe process them so they are stretchable, and then you don't need to mix in other materials.
That is super smart.
It's pretty innovative.
Yeah.
Pretty innovative stuff. I'll give them that. All right, but that brings us to our second reading, which talks about how this process was inspired. Let's jump into that reading together now.
The science behind the stretch. Jogi Kalmuth, who started his career as a protein chemist, took inspiration from the way that proteins are structured. Normally, nylon has tight hydrogen bonds that make the material stiff and resistant to stretching. Using a protein-inspired approach, the startup reformulated the structure so that the molecules can slide past each other under stress and then spring back when the stress is released. With the use of the startup's chemistry, the material can be made in any mill that makes nylon yarn, not just those that specialize in stretch. After the yarn is produced, it can be made into fabric without adding any new machinery or process changes. The material is made from recycled nylon, turning old fishing nets or carpet into new fiber, and is already at cost parity with virgin nylon. but the cost will keep going down the more it's recycled. As brands collect their old clothing for recycling, the next generation feedstock will cost even less.
Okay, so we're reintroduced to this character who gave us the quotes, Jolga Kalmuth, who is, of course, that CTO and the co-founder of the startup Return to Vendor that we were talking about. Jolga Kalmuth, it tells us, started his career as a protein chemist. Now, this is sort of interesting. You know, my background is in biology, and proteins are fascinating things. They're basically like little tiny biological machines that do different things. And they're very robust. They're held together with these strong chemical bonds so that they kind of, what would you say? They form themselves. They kind of fold into the right shape naturally, and they hold that shape in a very durable way. And so that is sort of what has inspired Jolga Kalmuth here, this idea that proteins have sort of a natural structure, but then you can like manipulate them, and then they'll return to that natural sort of form. So basically it tells us he took inspiration from the way that proteins are structured. Normally nylon is not a protein, that's a synthetic material, has tight hydrogen bonds that make the material stiff and resistant to stretching. I bet you don't think of nylon as being stiff and resistant to stretching.
Would you not? I'm trying to think of like different nylon material, and it's not very stretchable.
You're a woman. Oh. So when you think of that word nylon, you probably think of different things than I do. I think of nylon as being like uncomfortable neon-colored jackets and hats. But stockings, women's stockings, have long been called nylons.
And those are very stretchable.
They are very stretchy. So I think the idea of the material that you have might be influenced by thinking of nylons, right? Stockings. Yeah, because they are very stretchy. But I think nylon is not naturally, at least that's what it tells us here, it's not naturally a very stretchy material.
Like originally looking at nylon in its very original form, it's not the type of material that would be stretchy unless it were blended.
Yeah, or even the form it is often sort of made in. Like I think windbreakers, summer hats, things like that, they're often made of nylon because it's very light. But what I would imagine is happening with those stockings is that they're blending materials.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah. Unless this man helped invent those. No.
Well, before nylons were called nylons, they were silk stockings, which is obviously much more expensive. So I think they replaced the silk strands maybe with nylon fibers to make them sort of cheaper and more durable, etc. But nonetheless, I would guess, what I'm guessing based on the article here, is that nylons are not stretchy because of the nylon. They're stretchy because of something else. And so what he's sort of figured out is how to make nylon stretchy. Yeah. And so specifically what they say is he's used this protein-inspired approach to reformulate the structure. This is the structure of nylon, so that what happens?
So that the molecules can slide past each other, the originally tight hydrogen bonds, they can slide past each other under stress and then spring back when the stress is released. And that is the description of stretching.
Yeah, this is just like stockings. You know, you pull it and it gets wider and then you let go and it just goes back to the original shape, right?
Exactly.
So that's basically what they're saying is they've given nylon the ability to do this. So with the use of the startup's chemistry, the material can be made in any mill that makes nylon yarn, not just those that specialize in stretch. So obviously there's going to be like different equipment if you want to make stretchy nylon.
Right. And it sounds like that they separate that by each mill. But here, there's not that problem of having to find a special mill that can blend the different fabrics together because you're only using one.
And after the yarn is produced, it can be made into fabric without adding any new machinery or process changes. Process there, not process, right? The material is made from recycled nylon, turning old fishing nets or carpet into new fiber, and it is already at cost parity with virgin nylon. So what is cost parity?
It's where the cost is equal. It's the same. And I like that they mentioned that, though, because something that'll be going through my mind is, wow, considering all the the different chemical tweaks that has to be done? Will it be very expensive to buy stretchable nylon? But here it says it's at cost parity. It's the same with virgin nylon.
And so virgin nylon here will just be like nylon that has not been used before, nylon in its purest form. But the cost will keep going down the more it is recycled, because you don't have to pay for the new material, right?
Yeah.
As brands collect their old clothing for recycling, the next generation feedstock will cost even less. Feedstock is a bit of an odd term here.
Yeah, the definition kind of threw me off, but it's talking about the main raw material that you use to make something. It's not talking about the food that you use to feed animals.
Yeah, which I suppose that's how we would normally use feedstock.
Right? Yeah, that's how I've always heard
it used.
We're
talking about hay and oats and grain, corn that you're going to give the animals. But here I think the idea is you're feeding the machine, feeding raw material into the machine, right? And it's coming out a different way. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this first part of our innovation lesson. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about paint. So be sure to join us then. Until then, I'm Simon.
And I'm Maria.
Saying bye for now.
Goodbye.